And yeah, Gokai Silver is definitely going to be dying at some point.
Why do you say that?
He has a... Well, for one, he's a Six Ranger with a Dino... With a Dino Zord. Second, he's a... He's either evil or a complete asshole.
Well, apparently... From the scans, it looks like he gets everything. He gets his powers from the three dead Six Rangers.
Right. All of which are also first started out either evil or complete assholes and also had dino-based Zords.
Yeah, so he should die horribly.
Yeah,
or else.
He'll probably die. He is dead.
By those standards, you should. By those standards, though, XV would be dying.
Isn't he? No, wait, we haven't started the show yet.
Yeah.
Superhero Time with your hosts, XV.
Mostly I just feel left out of the cursing.
Hey, Mickey.
Ah, bug, die.
Paladin. And Fort Max.
Not a real tape recorder.
It's Superhero Time, because we hate you. I'm your host, XV, and I feel like chicken tonight. Our regular cast this week includes, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of Hey, Mickey?
For hate's sake, I stab at thee.
He's got a little captain in him, Paladin.
Arr.
And he should have used Preparation H. It's Fort Max.
Right. I can't remember what Preparation H. Raymond sounds like at all.
What?
Conan skit character.
Never mind, I don't even want to know. The joke is over with, and let's just move on. So, this week we're joined by an unprecedented two guests. First, Ken is back with us again.
Yo.
And we're very sorry.
Yeah, well.
It's becoming a regular thing.
Funny!
And for the first time from the, forgive me if I get your show name wrong, the Funny Pharmacy, it's Wingus.
Hello!
That is the right name for your show, right?
Well, Wingus is Funny Pharmacy, but yeah, you guys just want me here for the drugs.
Coming here via tin cans and string, thank you very much.
He's calling us from the distant past.
And Paladin does need his pills refilled. So yeah, thanks for being with us this week, guys. We'll try to get this over good and quick for you. As painlessly as possible, which I'm sorry to say is not very.
It only hurts for a moment, but that's a lie.
Very long moment.
This might tickle a bit.
Oh dear. There's no way this can end well.
No.
What could possibly go wrong?
This is all Decade's fault.
Yes, one of you tonight is going to get the blade of a sword shoved up your butt and swung around in the air.
Dibs.
So it's just like my D&D sessions then.
Okay, so let's jump to the news. A Tamashii Nations video reveals Figuarts Gokai Green and Blue. No surprise there. No sales details yet, but I would be alarmed if they weren't exclusives at this point.
Well, the card showing them off at that show does not have the exclusive logo on it, so for all we know, they could be regular release. I'm certainly not expecting that, but they could be from this detail.
I mean, yeah, it could work out that way since the series is ongoing. You know, there might be more sales potential that way, but for now, we don't really know either way.
Yeah, because I think I've seen in the past where they haven't shown the Tamashii Web tag on it, and it ends up still being an exclusive.
It may also be that at this point they're just holding out hope that, you know, stores will want to have this. And they won't have to exclusivize it.
Yeah.
Also seen in the video is a better look at the Super Robot Shogokin Gokai-O with Gokai Starburst effect parts. And it sure looks like a little Gokai-O figure, doesn't it?
Yep.
It looks pretty nice, actually.
Hard to tell from a little YouTube video. I'll hold judgment till we see, you know, like, good pictures of it.
Well, Super Robot Shogokin overall seems to be turning out a lot of good stuff, actually.
Hmm. Well, I mean, what is it doing besides...
Super Robot Wars. They have the Altai now. They have the... what was it?
Gal Gaigar?
Yeah, Gal Gaga coming out. And so far, they've all seemed to be in pretty good quality.
Okay. Well, plus, you know, it's Gokayo. How can they ruin that?
Well, no, sure Saban probably but... will, but that's a while away.
Well, I mean, one way to ruin Gokayo is putting a Magi Dragon in it, but, you know.
They don't use it that often in main fights.
Find a way to combine it with Galgigar.
That would make it awesome.
Awesomer.
Gaogai Gokayo?
Yes.
Sure, why not?
I'll buy that for $1.
Initiate Final Fusion.
Let's make a show of it.
Yeah. So, pictures were shown of Figuart Gamel on the Tamashi web store.
Gamel!
Yay.
Three down, one to go.
Yeah. Does he come with accessory chairs to make a fort out of?
That'd be
no, you
got to
protect yourself.
But, you know, I think you can get doll furniture in that scale, and that would work just as well.
Doll furniture would be just about as expensive as importing from Japan.
I didn't say it would be cheap.
And plus, it's a Tomashi web exclusive, so...
Yep.
What's a little more massive expense?
Also, you got to get your own backdrop.
Well, I mean, you could
a sheet of silk somewhere at Walmart.
Walmart doesn't have fabric anymore.
Ours do.
Really?
Yeah.
All the ones I've been to have removed the fabric department.
I think the one up a couple miles from me has it, too. I've seen it in passing when I'm getting stuff from model supplies.
Maybe the people in Dixon figure out how to make meth from fabric.
I wouldn't be surprised. They're a creative lot, them. Let's see, the Gokai Silver stuff.
There's several skins of upcoming new merchandise, including another Ranger key set, and several close looks at Gokai Silver's first round of merchandise.
The Anchor Axe thing is actually pretty neat looking, although I expect it to be woefully small, said your mom.
Probably. Although the axe for Putotero is actually pretty big, so never know.
Of course, with a price here, if I'm reading this right, of almost 5,000 yen, that might not actually be that small after all.
Well, it's going to be short regardless.
Well, yes. My main concern here is whether the rifle mode is, you know, viable.
Yeah.
If it would fit into my meaty hands.
Your big, fat American hands.
That's and right.
Unfortunately, it looks like the Dragon Ranger key, you know, comes with it. So, if you want that...
Ooh, harsh.
Well,
you gotta get the Dragon Ranger key.
Well, there are separate,
who would want
candy, there are separate capsule versions of the keys that have stickers and stuff, and they look pretty much almost the same and have the same key cut stuff as the...
Key cut stuff.
One, so
the candy, actually, the,
nice.
There are the capsule. There's the capsule ones and the candy ones. The candy ones are actually not too bad, but the capsule ones you have to like overlay stickers over the chest and pretty much everything. And
like candy toys.
End up looking, it doesn't end up looking quite as good. Because the candy ones are at least painted.
Well. So if you want a Dragon Ranger key, you have to get the axe. Gun thing.
Or not get it, as no one will be doing.
Yeah.
Except probably me.
Or not get it, as everyone will be doing, because
you can't get it.
Things.
Because it's Gokaiger.
Yeah.
So sad. Of course, then there's also strange, anomalous Gokai Silver figure with, like, joints.
Called Amos or something.
Must be some kind of new figure series for Gokaiger.
Then an offshoot of the keys, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't read Japanese, so I have no idea what this block of chicken scratch next to it says. See, we need to get a guest.
Get him to translate it.
Yeah, we need to get
so many words. It's saying this is going to cost you money.
Yes, 3,360 yen, and it will be released in June.
Who's got the static in the background?
Let's find out. Not
probably
me.
Probably me.
It just came up all of a sudden.
Yes, it did. And it's getting louder.
Say
Should
something,
I put the
Mickey.
Tinfoil hat in my router?
No, it's not that kind of noise.
I'll do it anyway.
Okay. Given that, though, I'm surprised we haven't been hearing the black helicopters so far.
We probably will.
Yeah.
Give it time.
But yeah, we need to have a guest on the show one week who can read Japanese easily.
It would probably be useful.
At least once in a while, yes. So moving right along, Paladin.
There's also an image here of Ranger Key Set 4. With Car Ranger, Hurricaneer, Battle Fever J, Z Ranger, and Gosager.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, that one's been advertised for a while, though.
Hee-hee-hee, Battle Fever J.
I cannot wait to see them use those.
Seriously, that is going to be bizarre.
Let's go Dragon Fever! On it. Oh, man, Miss America.
God.
What the f*** are they on in the 70s?
The good stuff.
Everything.
Blame Marvel.
Battle France!
Well, yeah,
France surrenders.
Is what weren't they on?
I mean, the 70s also had metal heroes come out of it, right? Or did that not start till the 80s?
80s.
It was 80s.
Okay, so they were just on slightly different stuff then.
Well, and Japan's always a bit behind when it comes to the popular stuff, and a lot in music at least, so that probably also carries over to the drugs.
Ah, well.
Maybe it's just the radiation.
Well, that didn't come till a lot later.
Well, something's making Godzilla hang around.
Maybe he just likes the sushi.
That's a lot of fish.
It's a little plain.
Yeah.
Your mom's a lot of fish.
Excellent. And then down at the bottom here, what are these, like, candy toy Megazord things?
Probably.
Candy toy Gokai 6.
Yeah.
I'm calling it that until I learn the real damn name.
And there's also cut-off images of the... I think these are the high-detail model figures.
Mm-hmm.
Which remind me a lot of the set we got during the Overdrive year of the static Red Ranger figurines.
Mm. It reminds me of those little shitty rubber things that come in multi-packs. That are always unpainted.
Decoys?
Yeah, like that, but Ranger themed. Like, we had them in RPM. It came with the clear version of Yogastein, and so on and so forth.
Oh. That.
Yeah, those crappy things.
Those
yeah, that's what they
packs.
Kind of remind me of.
Yeah. That's
except these appear to be painted nicely.
Or stickered nicely.
Well, whatever.
Well, it is Japan.
No, that's painted.
You look at the Dragon Ranger shield, that's going to be a sticker.
Or, well, look at Gokai Silver.
Oh yeah, the emblems on him are definitely stickers.
Yes.
But...
except for the vinyl figure where it's unpainted sculpted detail.
Classy.
That's Bandai.
Well,
just like your mom.
No, yeah, no, I'm Bandai at... has you put stickers over the sculpted detail.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, actually, yeah.
Well, quite frankly, it looks better unpainted or unstickered. To me, anyway.
You know, it really does, now that you mention it.
I'm, like, the only one that likes how goofy that looks.
That's because you're stupid and we hate you.
Yes.
No, come on, Mickey. It's not like he's Barricade.
Oh, true.
Or Fort Max, even.
It just looks ridiculous, and I actually like that for some reason.
Speaking of looking ridiculous, I believe Gokai Silver's phone is a transporter toy.
What?
Well, it looks like the little transporter cylinder thing from the Star Trek movie.
Yeah.
Kind of does, actually.
Looks like someone mixed one of those with the Magiphone.
Yeah, it does have the Magiranger M on it for some reason.
Actually, I think that's supposed to be his, like, anchor visor thing.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
See, it looks to me more like it's a cryogenic stasis pod for Ranger figures.
That works, too. I mean, it's all basically the same concept. It's a tube with fancy lights and buttons.
CNC buttons.
Yeah. That would be great if a Sixth Ranger's transformation device was a CNC.
It's a giant belt buckle.
Would some of the words be power fail?
No way!
Betrayed.
Because okay. Roulette, though, he'd have to be black. Because you always bet on black.
You could bet on the green 00.
Now, Wesley Snipes says you always bet on black, and so that's what you do.
Okay. So,
that's how you get audited?
Yes.
Okay, so we've got scans for the O's summer movie and apparently the Hyper Battle video.
Right.
And the summer movie seems to still be the same thing it was last time we talked about it, which was the Edo period invading modern day. Somehow.
How right. fun.
Mm. Yay.
Didn't we just see that in Movie War Core?
Not exactly, no.
Well,
the news
hence why I'm hence why I'm apprehensive.
Yeah. Yes, well, hold
looks
your
like
comments
the new scans
on...
are trying to explain what Burakawani does.
By utilizing the Cobra, Turtle, and Crocodile medals, O's can access this combo. Let's see. When the user gets
Cobra ability grant
combo.
What?
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 Mickey?
He's using the medal to get the combo. That's helpful.
Right. So Cobra's abilities
am I buzzing,
grant...
I guess?
No. Cobra's abilities grants O's the Cobra head, which doubles his eyesight and gives him infrared so he can see in the dark.
Isn't that what the...
What? When the f*** did Cobras do that?
Isn't that kind of what the blue head metal does anyway?
No, that's like sonar.
Well, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, with the sonar, he can see through solid objects.
Yeah. Well, no, I figured out what the deal is with...
thinking sonar.
I figured out what the deal is with that. You know, he's got the sonar so he can see the outline of an object, but he can also then pick up the sound of someone behind an object if they're moving.
So he's Daredevil.
Yeah. Except basically cool, the same looking. Concept.
And he's got a better movie. Barely.
And he's got his own villains.
Okay, so the turtle gives him the turtle shell shield thing.
Big surprise.
Yeah.
They do.
What?
So what, this lets him drain Serpentera's power?
Yeah.
Sure. Or fall over and can't get up.
That's exactly what it does for it, Max. And the crocodile, the sides of the legs can be used as saws, but much sharper, according to this. The line drive can stream much more energy than other metals. And when he holds his enemy between his legs, he cuts through them. Which sounds a lot like your mom.
That's not awkward at all.
Now, come on, that's a perfectly valid wrestling move.
Yeah. I think I saw Zinni
on
top
give it to Birth.
Well, Birth eventually started using his weapons again.
Eventually. 5 episodes.
I don't know, I thought the wrestling was cool too, but it'd be good to mix it up. I don't know.
Yeah. So yeah, that's...
People
what?
Between legs, does it make like a buzzsaw noise?
I can only hope.
Oh, that's gonna be fun to see.
Yes.
Oh yes.
Okay, so that's the summer movie. For the Hyper Battle video, which is a mail-away premium with one of the hobby magazines, we got a scan of the exclusive form for that, which is Taka Garuba using
the kangaroo medal.
With boxing gloves.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's a kangaroo and they wear boxing gloves.
That looks fantastic.
I'm sure that's a big problem in Australia.
If it's not the dingoes eating your baby, it's the kangaroos coming to box with you. Right, Fort Max?
What?
Well, you're the Australian one.
Right. That is the joke.
Well, sometimes it's sometimes I'm British, so.
Like the gecko?
I guess.
Maybe it's just space Australian.
Space Australian.
No, I'm wearing pants.
Too soon, Krillin. So, yeah. Kangaroo. That's about all I have to say about that. Although, in a way, I'm kind of disappointed that it's not like, you know, ramen bowl yummy or something. But, whatever.
So cool.
Yes, and the ramen bowl dopant wasn't even the best thing of that hyper battle video. That's just how good Double was.
I finally watched A to Z the other day. Or not, but the net movie is connected to it, rather.
Yeah, what'd you think of that?
Some of it was pretty good, some of it was pretty tiresome.
Like?
Well, all the Kirihiko stuff was awesome, especially when you called Walking a Fat.
Yeah. Well, he's right, though. She has put on weight over the last few years.
Well, she did sit on her sister to break her Gaia memory, so... That was a bad way for Nausicaa to go out.
Yeah.
Worst case of indigestion she's ever had.
Oh. Bad.
I love the Pictionary segments, too.
Oh, yes.
And how Terry's actor just, like, can't draw
at all.
I like how they're all in character but out of character at the same time.
Yeah.
No, I think Ren Kiriyama was in character the entire time.
I like to think that Ren Kiriyama just is that way.
Yeah. Preferably, yes.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if you get into the hang of acting like that, why would you act any other way?
This is very true.
Or dress any other way.
Also very true.
Yes.
I want a hat like that.
See,
you can probably get one.
The problem with
I'm not hard-boiled enough.
You have to have an entire outfit like that, so...
Yeah, I know. And I can't wear a tie.
Oh, God, no.
Why not?
Not enough neck.
Oh.
You've seen me.
I didn't really try to picture you wearing a tie, though. That just didn't cross my mind at the time. I'm sorry.
That's what clip-ons are for, though.
I'm not sure if I should be relieved or frightened
Strap-ons?
At that.
Clip-ons?
Huh? What?
Clip-on tie.
Oh. That's different from a strap-on tie.
I said clip-on the first time.
I know what I heard.
I know what you didn't. Wait, let me salvage that. I know what your mom heard.
Oh,
for a nickel.
Snap.
Your Wait, sound quality probably about? Cost a nickel, too.
Excellent.
It's not very Raven.
Yes, that was excellent, Mickey. These are Twitter in-jokes you would get if you followed us on Twitter. I was going to say something, but I've forgotten now. Oh, what were you thinking was tiresome, though, in the net movies?
Oh, Geno and what's-his-name's segment of the lab.
Hmm. Maki.
Yeah. None of those really seemed very funny to me.
Yeah,
I guess not.
They were weak to me.
They were a lot funnier just being themselves in the show, so.
Yeah, rather than being mad scientists.
Yeah.
But hey, we got to see Bean.
That's true. Yeah, I like Bean memory.
Was it musical?
Oh. But yes, Kirihiko's afterlife talk show was definitely the highlight of that series.
Oh, yeah.
All of his Halo.
And he interviewed the cat.
That was my favorite one.
He threw the cat across the damn room.
Smeared on. Oh, crap.
Yes, and as Fort Max loves to point out, the really cheap stuffed Kirihiko doll.
And the stuffed Mick, too.
Yes, but the stuffed Kirihiko was funnier.
Yeah.
Well, those things didn't exactly have what we would call a budget.
Well, and they weren't trying to, either. It was supposed to be funny like that.
Yeah.
Has any more of the O's net movies been subtitled yet? Besides the first
one? I don't think so, no.
Well, that's too bad, but I guess we'll get them later with the DVD release.
In the meantime, here's Puto Terra.
That was a random segue, Paladin.
No more random than anything else.
I don't even think that was a segue.
Well, it's the closest thing we get to.
What's on this website?
Which one?
The one you just linked to with the Puto Terra stuff.
It's a little girl with blue hair.
And an O's driver.
Right.
Yeah.
You got blue hair.
And I think Mazinger's wings.
Yes, yes, you seem to be right there. And I'm sure the outfit is a reference to something, too.
Probably.
But, you know, I'm not all up on my...
offensive.
Huh?
I find it offensive.
More offensive than the ride vendor girl?
Close.
I think we may need to ask Barricade about the outfit.
Why?
Why does he have one?
Given all the stuff that he's been both admitting to knowing about on Twitter, probably.
Well, it's better than the people who have recently been admitting to knowing about, like, Queen's Blade.
That's Barricade.
Oh. My mistake. So yeah, the combo change Puto Terra looks pretty good.
Yes, it does.
Wait, this is combo change?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I assume this is figure arts.
The figure arts hasn't come out yet, has it?
What?
The figure arts hasn't come out yet, has it?
That doesn't.
No, I don't think that's till August.
Yeah. So. Besides, this is better. This can interchange with other stuff, and you don't have to buy a separate accessory pack for it.
Yeah, he can make his own tail.
And head
wings. Stumpy as the tail is.
He can wiggle it.
Kind of like head mom.
I like the head wings.
What?
What?
XV?
What?
What? Oh,
you're still there.
Yeah?
You stopped mid-sentence.
I said I like the head wings.
The bottom part doesn't really seem to sync very well with the other ones, though.
Perhaps it's all the silver.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, there's silver on the torso, too. It's just kind of overwhelmed by the purple.
Yeah.
And the chest is raised.
Yeah. Which makes it not really mesh that well with the other parts of the Combo Change series. Oops.
But hey,
oopsie
you can do
daisy.
It.
Yeah, well, this form wasn't supposed to swap between the others anyway, so.
Yeah.
Just like Fang Joker. I wish there had been other Fang forms besides just Fang Joker, but, you know, what can you do?
There should have been Fang Fang for one of the movies.
No, what should have happened in the movie is, you know, pull out another lost driver and just lock the Fang memory onto that, and Philip could have been Masked Rider Fang.
Yeah, there you go. That would have been cool.
Yeah.
That would have been pretty cool.
So would
have too late now.
Swapping out.
What, Wingus?
Also would have been cool to see Shotaro swapping out and become Trigger and Metal.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too, but he didn't have those T2 memories.
Yeah, and they were all locked at the time, so.
Yeah.
So, oh well. Well, it would have been a neat thing to have happen in the last episode of Double, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that would require them making two new suits, so.
I don't care how much it costs them.
Right.
Screw the budget. I want more suits.
Yeah.
Well, two new suits?
Well, they make that money back up in exclusive figure art sales to Tamashi.
They probably could have, like, painted over the Cyclone suit they had left over from the last movie Wars.
Probably. That one's not getting used again.
It's not like anyone would have noticed.
Yeah, it's just eye candy.
So it's the opposite of your mom.
Boom.
Ooh.
Yeah, your mom is eye broccoli.
She's got candy.
Some of us like broccoli.
Yeah.
Even the leafy green bits?
Yes. I thought that's the part people did like. And people just eat the stems because they have to.
Oh.
No, I ate the whole thing.
I thought that was the only reason anyone ate broccoli.
No, man, you steam it and put some cheese on it?
No, no cheese. You put it in stir fry.
You do that too.
With a little soy sauce.
Or sometimes the best way is to just smother it with mashed potatoes.
I'm American. Oh,
no. No, not mashed potatoes. Ugh, what a waste. Besides, if you're having broccoli in that format, you've obviously overcooked it anyway, and it's not worth eating anymore. You have to cook broccoli really hot, really fast, so that it retains its texture. Stuff like that's not worth eating if you cook it to the point where it's just green mush.
Point.
Like what comes out of your mom.
No, that's yellow mush.
From which side?
Yes.
From all sides.
Wait, your mom has sides?
Well, a near side and a far side.
Every side.
Also a day side and a night side. But, you know, those change as she shifts in position relative to the sun.
Does the tide shift as well?
Red tide.
What? It's a plankton joke. I don't know what you're oohing about.
Okay, so anything else in the news this week?
Nah, I think that's it.
All right. So how about
the fall? What? The fall samurai toys may be starting to hit just by the fact that there's a version of the samurai Megazord that's been cited that has different packaging.
How is the packaging different?
It advertises the Octozord.
New hat.
So same thing.
Yay.
Okay, so what's Go-Go Samurai? Actually, no. This week it's not Go-Go Samurai. This week it's once again time for something completely uninteresting.
And now for something completely uninteresting.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I retooled the completely uninteresting liner to work with Samurai. So, yay. Okay. So this week on Samurai, Zandred's power is increasing, and as a result, a bunch of giant Moogers slip through the gaps and begin attacking. So the Rangers have to call out all the available Zords to beat them back. Pretty good for the first 5 minutes.
Yeah. I noticed, though, that they once again skipped a focus episode on one of the females.
And actually, wasn't that focus episode the one that would have introduced Ika Daikaio?
Yep.
That's what I thought.
Well, it's only the girls. It's not like anyone cares.
And I guess it's not like a combination needs an introduction. What, Mickey?
Nobody wants to see a focus episode on the girls.
I don't even really want to see the girls.
I especially don't want to hear the girls.
Acting ability would help.
So later, the Rangers are worried that no matter how much they fight, they don't seem to be getting any ground. And G suggests that the so-called black box might be able to help them tip the balance of power. Except nobody can complete it, but maybe Antonio's text message power can help.
Such a dynamic name, Black Box.
Yes.
Did they get it off an airplane?
Well, it does work fit in that no one seems to have any idea what the heck it does.
Isn't that kind of how Samurai was produced?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It also works in that it's a little box and it's black. Really creative there.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure Black Box is not just a literal translation of Inromaru either.
I don't think it is, actually.
No. So the Rangers travel to the Tengen Gate and the Temple Beyond, where the Black Box is hidden by guardians allied to the Shiba family. Because Jaden just looks so much like a Shiba, doesn't he?
Immensely, yes.
Well, these guys sound about as much as sound about as much Japanese as they look. So,
well, Daisuke, the head guardian, it just happens to be played by the same actor who played Sensei in Ninja Storm.
That who, name is Daisuke.
Yeah.
It means he's either a makeup artist or a digi-destined.
Yeah.
No, if he was a digi-destined, his name would be Davis.
And he'd have goggles.
Right.
Even though they do nothing.
Well, no. Only if... No, he only has goggles if he's the leader.
Yeah, it's more that they gave him a Japanese name and then horribly, horribly botched the pronunciation.
Well, not horribly, horribly, but they did botch the pronunciation. Much like I botch the pronunciation of almost everything I say. So the Rangers...
One of you does it deliberately.
Well, okay. So the Rangers learn a bit about the history of the samurai and sit down for a nice cup of tea. But the tea has been tampered with, and now it will turn anyone who drinks it into Power Ranger punks. No. It'll probably kill anybody who drinks it. That's it.
Oh, so it's regular tea then.
Oh.
No, it's iced sweet tea.
Ugh.
Hey.
Gutter water.
Again, these are Twitter jokes, people. Jaden is the first to take a sip, and he immediately realizes the tea is poison and stops everyone else before they can have any. At about the same time, a monster arrives to draw away the healthy Ranger so Octoro can get to Jaden and offer him a cure in exchange for the secret of the Red Ranger sealing character. I don't really see how Octoro expects to be able to use the sealing character, though. Since that
Sorry,
whole...
wait, are you sealing character?
As in to seal away, not over your head.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. He's not even the one wanting to use it.
But the point is, though, you know, you have to have the symbol power to be able to use the symbols.
Yeah. Also, well, he isn't going to care as long as that other monster doesn't kill him.
Yeah, I guess.
There was one other thing before that also where they kind of heavy-handedly, unsubtly indicate what they're probably going to do with the backstories of Dayu and Decker.
Well, yes, there is that too. But, you know, that kind of sucks.
Yeah. Sucks a lot, actually.
It's just another one of those things that they took from Shinkanger and ran through a food processor.
Yeah, pretty much.
Until we get samurai smoothies.
No, that implies it would be edible.
Not necessarily.
But there's no texture to it.
You can make a smoothie out of anything. Doesn't mean it's good.
You can make a smoothie out of anything that can be made smooth. What?
So not your mom, then.
Yeah. Okay, so meanwhile, Antonio...
Okay,
what?
We lost someone.
Yeah, just a minute. He'll be back.
Look in the message board.
Just read the message.
Right. This is why we have a text field for it, Max. I understand it's hard for you to be able to read things, but, you know, you should try to keep up with the rest of us, being that you're Texas and all. Oh, we are assholes, aren't we?
You know, sure the big deal is about not messing with Texas. We do it every damn week.
And I've lost Paladin's sound quality.
Yeah.
Or what passes for Paladin's sound quality. Okay, anyway, meanwhile, Antonio ambushes Decker out in the field someplace. Just as Decker is about to draw a sword and strike him down, Antonio reminds Decker that he said he'd try the fish recipe next time. And Decker reluctantly agrees as Antonio is setting up his grill.
What?
What?
That didn't make a lot of sense.
Well, last time...
He did a samurai.
Yeah, pretty much.
Last time Antonio and Decker met out in the middle of nowhere, Antonio tried to get Decker to eat his new fish recipe that he'd been experimenting with, but Decker said maybe next time. So now...
And that's not an unfortunate euphemism.
Right. So now Antonio has stalked Decker again so he can corner him with the fish again.
Okay, I see.
Also not an unfortunate...
That is just, that's not just me losing Paladin, right?
No, it's,
no,
no,
it's not. It's everyone.
Okay, then it wouldn't matter who's recording it. Well, that basically sums up my feelings on the episode of Samurai Paladin, yes, but let's get all the way through it first. Let's see. Now I've lost my
place. Let me try and fix something here.
I'll have fun with that.
You were talking about fish and stalking and of Decker.
Yeah.
Stalking seems to be a recurring theme in this show.
Doesn't it, though? So back at the Tengen Gate, the monster is walking all over the Rangers, and so it's time to call for backup. Antonio gets the call just as he and Decker are about to sit down for lunch, and must take off. As he leaves, he tells Decker to enjoy the fish, but Decker is more interested in the activity at the Tengen Gate he overheard Antonio talking about. Plus, you know, fish probably wasn't very good anyway. By now, the Rangers' battle has moved into a forest, but isn't going any better for them. And one by one, the Rangers are knocked down. When Antonio finally arrives to help, he gets sent back to help Jaden instead, and even the monster points out how dumb that was. Very aware writing.
One thing I noticed, the American costume they have for... what's this? What's Chitauri's English name again?
Octaru.
Octaru. The Japanese one doesn't have a moving mouth, does it?
Or if it does, we never see it.
Yeah, because it doesn't look like quite the same head.
Well, maybe they had
We talked about this a couple, I think, last week.
Yeah, but Ken wasn't here then.
Busy probably, the last week, I haven't had a chance to listen.
Probably the head on the American costume had to be modified to fit the giant fat head of whoever's inside the costume. You know.
What are you saying about New Zealanders?
What can't we say about New Zealanders?
So, Jaden has crawled outside to try and escape Octaru, who came in and ambushed him and the two guardians trying to cure him of his poisoning. But he uses up the last of his strength and passes out just as Antonio arrives. Conveniently, Decker appears about then also and sees his new fisherman friend morph into the Gold Ranger. Antonio then fights Octaru, who must be really strong for being so small, as neither combatant really shows an advantage. Maybe that just says something bad about Antonio, though. I haven't really decided yet.
Good enough for me.
But Antonio narrowly avoids tentacle rape by hacking away Octaru's probing appendages, giving Decker an opening to come in and demonstrate his own transformation before scooping up Jaden and running away with him. Octaru's plan, such as it was, is a bust, and he heads back to the underworld. Back out in the forest, the spider bull thing is moments away from final victory over the other four Rangers, when Xandrid, now come out of his room on the ship and finding his underlings working against his interests, yanks him back through the gap. Xandrid confronts him for his treachery, but seemed blind to the notion that Octaru could actually be part of the plot to overthrow him. Xandrid says that if Arachnator wants power, he can have some of his, as he dumps a load of energy in the Spider Bull freak show. And the episode ends as Decker is walking Jaden back to his place so they can have a lovely fish dinner by candlelight.
How romantic.
Yes, isn't it?
Honestly, looked like Decker was about to drop him in the river.
Yeah.
Because it looked like he was slipping off as he was walking.
Yes, it definitely seemed to appear that way.
I wouldn't blame him if he did.
Really, a lot of unfortunate exposition in this episode.
Well, this is a two-part episode, so they have to do all the exposition all at once.
Well, I can't just have to spell everything out for the American kids, it seems like.
Well, they are stupid.
Apparently.
Immensely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Pretty much. Exactly.
What? I couldn't think of anything else to say other than that.
The stupidity has rendered him speechless.
Pretty much. God, please get to the good shows.
Yeah, so that was Samurai.
And look how much we care.
So when is Samurai going into reruns again?
Soon, I hope.
Not well, soon enough, damn it.
Well, we get a new episode next week.
God damn it.
But Ken, don't you want to have the conclusion to this two-part cliffhanger?
I think I'll just go watch Shinkinger.
It doesn't matter. You'll be at BotCon then anyway.
Yes, I will.
Yeah, you. So I take it I sound better then.
Yes, for now. Actually you do.
You sound like you usually do. What?
Yeah, good enough.
Do I sound better?
No, you sound the same.
Tin can on a string.
Yeah.
You sound like you're mumbling through a tin can on a string now.
Thank you, that was the joke.
Jeez Louise.
Is this what you usually sound like on your show, Wingus?
I don't know. I don't listen to my show. I play it.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, because yours is a live stream, so there's no recordings of it.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that'd be a problem, wouldn't it?
For listening to myself, yes.
Well, yeah. Okay, then.
It's just another one of Scap's wonderful quirks.
Yeah. Maybe.
No, I think it's Wingus's hardware.
Because he used two different computers, so it's probably the microphone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would seem logical.
Stupid $10 microphone.
Maybe it's there's your trying problem. To prevent too many Southerners in the same discussion.
Told you so, didn't I? Didn't I tell you?
We're gonna rise again one day.
No, you won't. That's why we invented NASCAR.
Hang on a minute.
Last words for what y'all saying, boy.
So.
Hang on a minute. I have to deal with something else first.
Has anyone else gotten Cyberverse Optimus with his trailer?
No.
You kids and your Dark of the Moon toys.
I'm growing increasingly irritated at the fact that his trailer doesn't even have the same shade of blue used throughout all of it.
Could be worse. Could be United Blur or United Scourge.
Anything.
Both of which have like five different shades of blue.
Yeah.
Did XP just go get a sandwich or something? Or?
No, I'm still here. Probably. I'll be done in a minute.
With what?
Your mom.
Kind of walked into that one.
Which is what he did to your mom.
Okay, let's see. Okay, so, go Kyger.
Yo ho, me mighties, it's time for Pirate Sentai action!
This was the holy shit show of the week, rather than O's.
O's was pretty holy shit, but not quite as holy shit.
Not to this degree.
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay, so a privateer ship approaches Earth. Commander Nepotism has a little freak out over the ship he can't identify. And even after his subordinates explain what's up, the commander still thinks it's an enemy.
Well, has a freak out over the fact that it's a pirate and thinks it's an enemy despite that they already explained that they work for the Zangek, that he works for the Zangek. So
it's rather sad that he's a commander and doesn't know this stuff.
Well, he also first questions whether it's reinforcements sent by his father.
Has Daddy come to help me? Again?
No, but it's a pirate. Kill it.
That's the rational response.
Of course.
And since when is he rational?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then, back on
the galleon. Well, there was a previous episode where just had no idea what the f*** was going on, so...
Isn't that every
episode?
He never
knows what the f*** is going on.
Well, last week's episode, that was a rational response.
Yeah, actually, that was the only time he has had a rational response.
Anyone's response.
But that was also because the entire episode was on crack, so of course he acted completely out of character.
I'm starting to suspect the entire series is on crack.
But good crack.
That is the true source of power of the Ranger keys. Crack.
So Doc is reading the newspaper and sees that the crew's bounties are up once again.
So he panics.
And pretty soon they'll be worth just as much as the Red Pirates, who Marvelous used to belong to.
Did we see how much Doc is worth now?
Because I didn't get a good enough look at the paper. What I did see on the newspaper, though, was an article about the Planet of Crevices.
Planet of Crevices?
Yes.
Is that another name for your mom?
So to change the subject, Marvelous orders the bird to do a treasure hunt, but all Navi can tell them is that they're in danger.
Danger Will Robinson.
That's kind of what it sounded like, yeah.
Navi is helpful.
Navi is helpful.
Navi is awesome, man.
Yeah, where's Navi our roleplay Navi toy?
Navi is a chick.
Yeah.
Is she? Or
yeah, she's a bird.
And you ask, is she?
Penalty box.
If you know.
Oh, bad Fort Max. Bad Fort Max. So the crew walks around aimlessly yet again to try to find something dangerous, and they're accosted by a monkey.
Well, first by a banana.
A large monkey that talks to them. But Marvelous isn't
dangerous.
Marvelous isn't fooled. He recognizes the voice as Bosco, one of his former shipmates from the Red Pirate days, who announces he's arrived to find the ultimate treasure.
And apparently buys his wardrobe from Kogami.
So Marvelous kind of flips out on him with one of the guns. But the monkey... The monkey's very deft at deflecting the shots with his cymbals. I'll let you just process that statement for a second.
A samurai monkey at that.
But the whole process is interrupted by a giant-sized Sigorman, the cover of which Bosco makes his exit under. The Gokaijers take out Gokaio to fight off the really subpar attack force, using two of the different upgrade forms, all while Bosco watches from a safe distance. Later on the ship, Marvelous is forced to recount the falling out he and Bosco had, and in fact, Bosco betrayed the Red Pirates.
First, Navi still spills the beans first.
Navi?
Which?
Navi?
Navi spills the beans. It's the first one to explain stuff.
Navi?
Now he's...
Yeah, they made a guest stop on the Avatar planet.
Is that how you pronounce it in Australia, Fort Max?
Hey, listen.
Yes? Yes, Fort Max? What am I listening to, Fort Max?
Hey, listen.
And the joke's going right over his head.
Yeah.
Which one?
He's fishing for a better sound quality clip.
Watch out!
So, in fact, Bosco betrayed the Red Pirates, who consisted of himself, Marvelous, and their captain, Akka Red, and allowed the Zangak to overrun the galleon after the three of them had succeeded in rounding up the missing Ranger keys. Which leads us back to the flashback we saw in the Decaranger episode.
It wasn't that was the second episode.
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought he had the flashback in the Decaranger episode.
No, it was when he was talking to that kid. It was when he's talking to that kid, and he had a flashback about Akka Red handing him the chest and then running off into the flames.
Did they show part of the flashback again in the Decaranger episode?
They might have. I don't think so.
Excuse you.
Sorry.
Oh, that was you?
Bring that up again and we can vote on it.
Wow. So, Bosco then just happens to call from his fabulous gold mobirates and offers Marvelous a one-on-one challenge to settle things.
That's not fair.
What could possibly go wrong?
I can't help but wonder if that mobirates is like a red herring or if it'll actually, you know, be something later on.
Probably like a
Tamashii Web exclusive mobirates.
Or a Toys R Us exclusive that you have to buy.
The U.S. Gold Ranger Morpher.
No, it'll be a Toys R Us Japan exclusive that you have to rebuy an existing Megazord toy to get. Because they did that. They did that during Magi Ranger. Just because
They
dicks.
Did that with Car Robots too.
Port Max has gone quiet all of a sudden, and I don't really mind.
Well, they did that with...
Damn.
You had to mention it.
Yeah, they did that with Car Robots, too, with a bunch of the spy changers.
Yeah. And also there was the Galaxy Force Magna convoy thing.
Yeah.
But that's kind of going off subject. So Marvelous agrees to his one-on-one meeting and tells the others not to lay a hand on Bosco as he leaves the room. But Melfi decides that the rest of them can just go treasure hunting the next day, because if they should just so happen to run into a certain someone in the process, I mean, who can say anything about that?
That sounds logical.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, she is the smartest of the group, obviously.
Yeah.
Or at least second smartest.
The Marvelous.
Yeah. So the planned meeting happens, but Bosco tips his hand early. He explains that Akka Red hadn't been entirely forthcoming with them about the secrets of the Ranger Keys, and Bosco then produces five that Marvelous hadn't seen before, as well as an interesting Ranger Key device shaped like a trumpet to summon forth incarnations of the Rangers.
And
I love that.
Which makes perfect sense.
Yes, I want a toy of that trumpet. Why is there not a toy of that trumpet announced?
I'd buy it.
Anybody would buy it. It's a trumpet that you put Ranger Keys into.
And it summons the dead.
It summons the dead and, you know, old. Because all of them were either one or the other.
Yeah, King Ranger's the only one not dead, wasn't he?
Is Deca Brake dead?
Deca Brake wasn't dead, is he? No.
Oh yeah, I forgot him.
Yeah.
How the hell did I forget him?
I don't know.
Because you're horrible.
Yeah, and it's not like either of those two have dinosaur swords.
And Shurikenger isn't dead, is he?
Well,
it's debatable whether or not he was alive to begin with.
Ninja Storm killed him.
Shuriken.
Okay, so the Gokaiger's disobedience pays off pretty handily as Marvelous gets some backup just as Bosco's team of copies starts attacking. And a really awesome drawn-out battle of Rangers versus Rangers occurs, with the Gokaigers having to slowly figure out how to adapt to fighting other Sentai members. But ultimately, they manage to strike down Deca Brake, Dragon Ranger, Timefire, Shurikenger, and King Ranger with a final wave.
As improbable as it is, I really love how I'm took out Deca Brake.
With guns.
Two guns in one hand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Works for me.
Yes, so then of course
it's a trap,
Bosco
though.
Counters with
two more teams of extra Rangers. And they quickly mow down the Gokaigers and take Doc, Joe, Iam, and Milfi captive. But as a consolation prize, Bosco lets Marvelous keep the deactivated Ranger keys for that first team of extra Rangers.
That was nice of him.
Yeah.
How thoughtful.
Yeah.
And he did get the good ones out of the arrangement.
Yeah, he got a Dragon Ranger key.
And Timefire. And Deca Brake.
You know, you gotta buy an expensive roleplay toy to get that Dragon Ranger key, ordinarily.
He just hands it to him.
And plus, the Dragon Ranger key's perfect for breaking into his ship.
Yeah. It really is. But only if the ship has a back door. Like your mom.
No, that costs an extra nickel.
Or is it to use cockpit, so...
I kind of wonder, how does the Gosei Knight key work? Because he doesn't transform, so...
He does, into a head.
Well, yeah, but that's not quite the same.
Well, it doesn't matter, though, because, you know, the six Rangers all appear to get summoned rather than turned into.
Well, yeah, but then what happened to him?
He died.
Who cares? He's from Gotsaga.
Paladin's answer is also valid. Yeah, we'll also accept Paladin's answer.
And yet there's no Bull Black key.
Unfortunate.
Not yet, anyway.
Pirated copies, man. Pirated copies.
They're knockoffs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or there's a X1 mask, apparently.
What?
X1 mask.
Oh. Yeah, the six that everybody seems to forget about.
Well, there's
or Death Green.
Kind of a reference to X1 Mask in the ending theme, but it's very, like, just
vague.
Yeah, very vague.
Yeah. So
Hill thinks that Bosco is the best thing ever.
Yes.
Though, of course, I also wouldn't be surprised to see Bosco hijacking a Megazord.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Bosco hijacking anything.
Yeah.
I like his floppy hat. I think he stole it from Blossom.
Nice reference.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how old he is.
That just showed your age right there.
Yeah, I used to watch that show when I was boning your mom in the 90s.
Mickey may be old enough to make that reference, but I'm old enough to get that reference. I'm not sure what that's supposed to prove, but it's something.
It proves something. I have no idea what you're talking about.
When do we?
So yeah, next week on Gokaiger, things happen.
Good things.
Lots of
most
things.
Likely.
Things!
Stop that.
Why?
So how about
waving my hands around dramatically and everything. Not that you could see it, but...
See, that's why yes. I need a video podcast.
No, yeah. We don't.
God, no, please.
Yeah, Paladin just needs to get some video enabled, and then we can do live video superhero time.
No, we don't.
Who would want to watch it?
I would.
I wouldn't.
Well, yeah.
I'm part of that damn thing.
XP might want to watch it, but he also revels in the misery of others.
Yes. Yes, I do. So how about some O's?
It was
did you ask that question to someone's mom?
Where not many surprises happened. Of course, granted, well, that tends to happen when Uva is a big part of the focus, so...
Well, yeah, Uva is kind of boring. Of course, there's one surprise in this episode of O's, but not if you read the spoilers.
But did you awe when we called Uva boring?
Yes. I like
Do you
Uva.
Like Uva?
Uva's rad.
He, you like boring very then.
Aww. Uva's only problem was he just disappeared for 10 episodes.
Yes, but he was running a very successful cell metal business.
This is true.
And debt collection agency.
It was profitable until the end of the episode.
You gotta give him credit. He brought back two of the more interesting characters.
This is true.
The only interesting thing he did.
I love how he actually put the backdrops down so they could be part of the resurrection.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to have a party, you got to decorate appropriately.
That's right. So, in this episode of O's, Shingo wakes up and talks to Hina briefly before passing out again. And, amazingly, Date still remembers he's selling toys. Or has weapons. Or has weapons to fight with, I mean.
The bullet must have changed paths along his brainstem so he remembers how the suit works.
And also, of course, when
and just,
Dante,
just to prove
now
how...
I love how what his reaction when he's told that he needs
you're jumping
to have
ahead
doctor
for
approval
Max.
Before he leaves, and I'm a
I
doctor.
Am a doctor.
But
yeah, just to prove how boring and dull Uva is, Date actually manages to drive off Uva with the birth system.
He does that every time he faces Uva.
While he's on the ground, writhing in pain.
Yeah, the effort puts such a strain on him that his transformation breaks and then he collapses. But fortunately, Satanaka arrives conveniently at that moment to pick up all their injured.
Well,
I'm sure there's a very extensive motor pool in the Kogami Foundation. You know. Not everything can be ride vendors.
Maybe the minivan is a ride vendor.
Someone
oh, that'd
Cylon
be neat.
Here.
Yeah, the minivan's like four ride vendors combined.
Oh, that would be awesome.
So how many cell metals does that cost?
Well, probably less than the Claws Scorpion.
You have to feed in a cell dollar.
Yeah. The ride vendors need dollar slots to change out into sell metals.
As opposed to sell nickels.
Yes. So apparently Shingo is no longer at risk of dying without Ankh, but still can't quite regain consciousness on his own.
So Ankh mopes in the rain.
Yeah.
Oh, that was actually kind of sad.
And then the part Fort Max already talked about where Date tries to leave his own hospital room. Still attached to most of the equipment, mind you. But Goto comes up and yells...
doctor.
Goto comes up and
well,
yells at him and
brain
makes
dabblage,
him
so...
Okay, Fort Max... Fort Max
brain dabblage.
Yeah, Fort Max, you kind of ran that one to the ground last week, so...
Haven't you picked up on that by now?
Aside from Ken's amusement, let's just let that one drop.
As I said, I haven't listened to last week's yet, so carry on.
Yeah, you're right. Better off.
Well, that'll be something for you to do on the trip to BotCon.
It's a long trip.
You should play it through the speakers in the airplane so everyone can enjoy it.
They might throw me out the plane.
That makes it sound an act of terrorism.
Yeah, watch out for
crash
that.
The plane.
Watch out for that air marshal.
Come on, have you wanted to see Guantanamo?
I hear it's lovely this time of year, very hot.
It's fine, it's hot enough here.
The sound of the black helicopters this week won't be Mickey's router, by the way. So, meanwhile, Uva's working on his arts and crafts project. and now with the right selection of core metals, minus a couple just to keep them at a subservient power level, he can get
to
reviving Mezzel and Gamble.
Yeah, that was a very, very... Uva thing to do.
That's a reasonable thing to do, I think.
I wonder if like Uva like prepared them like welcome back cards with, like macaroni glued on them.
I wonder with the way
he's not Gamel, so
with the way that the sheets were laid down upon them and it was a perfect body shape, did he just stack the metals like intricately?
Yeah, somehow or other, he was able to sculpt their likenesses out of cell metals earlier, and then he puts the core metals on them to activate them.
Now, he holds back some of the metals because he doesn't want them to be stronger than him, but how many cores of his own does he have?
I don't know.
Did anyone count that?
Oz can't make Gothakiriba, so I think Oz only has, like, one of the...
Yeah, but Kazali has some of them, too, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And Kogami may still have some, too.
Probably.
Speaking of which, where the f*** is he?
Cake.
Probably in Europe again.
Out buying another boa?
Yes.
You don't want to reuse the same one twice. That'd be tacky.
Right.
He went shopping with Bosco.
Ogami doesn't have to answer to you all.
That's true.
So
we answer him.
As the cell metal golems stand up, Uva calls out for them to reach for their desire and take the remaining metals he has for them.
Well, no, just one of the... No, he still holds on to one of them after that.
Yes, the remaining metals he has for them.
Yeah, true.
One each. So they can fully reawaken his greed.
And it works.
Yeah, and once they wake up, Mezzel's a bit confused before she starts to remember that whole giant monster blowing up thing. Meanwhile, Gamel's just trying to find where the candy is.
Oh,
aren't
Gamel,
we all?
I miss you so much.
I have missed Gamel.
Oh, yes.
I got angry.
So Uva, being as unimaginative as ever, just wants to take Gamel and Mezzel over to Kazali's to get some revenge. But decides first they should go after Oz and Ankh to get some more core medals.
Because that's what turned out so well in the past.
Yes! Yes, it did! Uva is not a smart man, folks. He may have his moments, but most of the time it's just like this.
Kind of got the blinders on there.
Yeah. Compound blinders.
Well, he is a bug.
Well, right. That's the joke.
Hence the compound.
So, Unicorn Yummy's out attacking again and rips the dream from an aspiring artist before Eiji can get there. Ankh doles out medals for the weirdest looking O's for him yet. Shajata, I guess. But just like the last time Ankh gave up a seemingly random set of medals, this semi-combo works pretty well against the Yummy and demonstrates Orca's bizarre sonar ability that works more like infrared, kind of. Apparently the special effects people don't really understand what they're supposed to be doing with some of these.
Well, it is Toei.
Just make it work so we can make a toy out of it. That's all they got.
Pretty much. Yeah.
So after the unicorn Yummy disappears in a puff of flatulence, Eiji talks to Ankh about... Admittedly, it's flatulence out the nose, but, you know.
Wow.
So Eiji talks to Ankh about what he's going to do now if he can't return to Officer Casualty, but Ankh just brushes it off, saying that being a floating hand may not be so bad anyway, as he flies away from the bothersome conversation just to prove his point.
Yeah, he sounds so very annoyed.
Not that he didn't always sound like that a little bit.
Oh, but yeah. Like, especially, he sounds like on the verge of being upset, like emotionally.
Yeah, it's like Ankh is almost going to kill someone again.
Well,
no, maybe he just needs more ice cream.
Well, you know, almost killing someone seems to be the best way for him to get a body.
Yeah.
No, Ankh never seems to actually be able to do the final step and actually kill someone.
Well, yes.
He just needs to hover around. Okay,
he's on the verge of failing to kill someone again.
Actually, that's a good point. Ankh could just latch onto Date and keep him alive for a while longer. Then Ankh could be birthed.
I think Ankh should just hop onto Eiji.
I'm not buying it.
Yeah, I kind of wondered about that, too. That's kind of what I wondered about.
That'd be interesting, at least.
It's true.
So, meanwhile, Fashion School finds out Hina hasn't been coming to class lately. Fashion School's the name for the previous fashion bitch.
Oh, gee, I hadn't picked up on that. Thanks.
Yeah.
We need more bitch school.
Seriously.
So Fashion School finds out Hina turned down the job in France and then gets upset that Hina blew off the chance to go and takes out to talk sense into her.
And also has not been showing up to school, so...
I mentioned that part already, yeah. Fort Max.
That's kind of reasonable because, you know, here she shut out her dream by winning first place and, oh, I didn't want it after all.
I'd be pretty pissed, too.
So
like if you went and bought all the war paths in one town, but you didn't really want them in the first place.
You know, the saddest part of that is that I already had a warpath coming to me in the mail before I found the first three. So, yeah.
What's even more ironic is after I drove up to Nashville to get that one from you, I found five in Chattanooga the next day.
Yeah, I noticed that on Twitter. That was quite hilarious, actually. But we had a good time
everybody's
anyway.
Everybody's building a mountain of warpath.
But still, you got
cats 1, 2, and 3.
You got paint
four
though,
and five
right?
And six.
I don't think you could swim in those the way you could with the cell metals.
No, probably not.
The barrel might get lodged in places.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, that costs an extra nickel.
No, this is Warpath, not your mom.
This is Warpath, not Seekers.
Okay, so AG takes Fashion School to the hospital where Hina's supposed to be with her brother, but she's gone. What is at the hospital, though, is the formerly aspiring artist who has fallen unresponsive since having his dream broken. AG and Fashion School go to Hina's apartment and find her destroying all her clothing designs just before she passes out, too.
That scene with Hina walking towards AG with that clipping sound was kind of,
creepy.
Kind of expecting her to clip something. That wasn't her clothes.
It was creepy.
Yeah.
Uva, Mezel, and Gemmel attack Ankh for core medals, and Ankh is an easy target, or so it seems.
And one then Gemmel is very easy to escape from.
Yeah, one good forehead flick later and Ankh's broken free of Gamel's iron grip. And he floats off to safety, realizing life as a hand doesn't really have any legs. cut to Team Birth, and Goto has found out about Date's condition and is pushing him to stop risking his life fighting. But Date won't be swayed and says he won't die until he sees his dream come true, whatever that might be. Switching back to Ankh, and he's in the hospital over Shingo. Ominous. Hina now is also in the hospital, but for now nothing can be done for her, while AG and Fashion School talk about what dreams are for. Then on
nice
Bart...
80s power ballad right there.
You could have used one.
Ankh barges in, and he's back on Shingo's body, just in time to sense a yummy attack.
Now, did he just force his way back on, or did he kind of murder Shingo off-camera there?
Shingo's is currently busy being unconscious, so...
Yeah, I guess so.
He's not dying, he's just comatose now.
Right.
Yeah, don't worry too much about it. It works somehow. Don't think about it so much.
I had to choke him a little, just need to make sure.
No, okay, I know what happened. Ankh went and found a gun, because, you know, he's a hand, so he can still use a gun. And he just shot him again.
No, so that probably way, just that... choked him using metals.
Yeah, whatever. Either
way,
though...
He just knows.
He held a pillow over his face.
Or he just flicked his forehead.
Yeah. That's it. But either way, Shingo's near enough death again, surely, that Ankh can live there.
For the time being.
Okay, so Unicorn Yummy prevents AG from transforming by bitch-slapping him and Ankh away from each other. And then tries to pull out AG's dream.
Which
and
scares.
And the entire Earth emerges from AG's forehead at roughly half the size of your mom.
Which leads me to suspect that AG's probably... reincarnation of John Lennon.
Either that, or AG is a closet Saturday morning cartoon villain who desires to take over the whole world.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, regardless, AG, it was AG's nice how it...
Well, now we just... know what he's been doing at night.
It was nice how it just scared the crap out of the Unicorn Yummy.
Yeah, clearly that Yummy knew that he had bitten off more than he can handle. As AG's dream starts to blot out the sun.
You notice Date and Goto didn't comment on that at all when they showed up right after. You'd think someone would notice a humongous Earth.
I think that's like one of those
everyone
things.
Everyone would notice it.
I think it's one of those things where it's like, did you just see that? I'm like, no.
Absolutely not. Let's keep walking.
Let us never speak of this again.
That's what happens every time your mom goes outside.
It's also how I feel about every episode of this show. Let us never speak of that again. So the Yummy gives up on that dream and lets it return to AG's head. And Ankh uses this opening where the Yummy's scared shitless to pass a set of medals over. And it's Morphin time! Oz and Berth end up both faring decently against the Yummy until Uva and friends show up to try for the core medals again. And the three Greek get a stompin'. The riders, that is. And the Unicorn Yummy seems to forget he doesn't work for them and joins in the fight. I don't know, maybe Greed are just programmed to... Or Yummies are just programmed to be subservient to Greed, regardless of which Greed it is.
Maybe it's
and
more...
Plus, it's not like those Greed were attacking the Yummy. They were guys that were attacking the Yummy, so...
Yeah.
So why not
the enemy
work
of my enemy is my friend.
Exactly.
For the moment.
So AG has no choice but to use the purple medals again, and for some reason, now he's in full control of the combo.
With the theme song.
Yeah.
I'm kind of disappointed with the theme song.
No, the theme song's fine.
It's too short. Right.
I was expecting different lyrics.
Like what?
Different lyrics.
Like
I don't know,
something?
Wham, bam, dino jam, something along those lines.
You know, Paladin, I just happen to have an MP3 of that.
Excellent.
Is that what
door,
you listen to?
Get on the floor.
Casually?
Everybody walk the dinosaur.
No, not that.
I smell a music video somewhere along the lines here.
What?
Nothing. Go ahead.
So Mezzel and Gamel are a little confused by the new combo as AG comes up and pummels them with it.
Yeah, I like Gamel saying, where the hell did those medals come from?
With one shot from the Chompy Axe, Oz blasts away the Greed and explodes the Yummy. Uva, Mezzel, and Gamel are staggering away when Kazali shows up with other Ankh. And Uva is rightly scared and tries to run away, but Kazali and Ankh easily blow Uva and the others off their feet. Again.
That's happening a lot.
Just before they're about to strike the death blow, Mezzo bargains for her life in exchange for joining up with Kazali. Gamel, being unable to make any independent choices, goes along with her, leaving Uva all by himself again. But that won't matter for long. Yeah, that won't matter for very long, since one solid hit from the other four greed scatters Uva into a pile of metals. Hina wakes up in the hospital, seeming to have her dream back, or something, and Eiji asks if she's going to make Ankh leave Shingo's body for good. But before Ankh can come rip Eiji's throat out, Hina gives some answer that doesn't really make any sense, and everyone just gives her an odd look, realizing she still has a lot of drugs in her system.
That does explain that scene a lot.
Well,
and so, somewhere in the city, a lone green core metal starts spinning all on its own, and the faint, disembodied voice of Uva swears really boring revenge.
And what exactly is his new plan for revenge?
Well, he's probably going to just, like, fly up and smack them all in the foreheads.
As a metal.
He's going to insert himself into a ride vendor and embody a motorcycle.
Hey, that's not a bad idea.
Cool. And then promptly fall on his side.
Well, yes. After all, he would just be a box.
It would be effective if it was, you know, a Fize bike, but...
Auto-vegin.
Yeah, he's going to put himself in a ride vendor, and you're just going to see Kogami in the office pressing the transformation button repeatedly and laughing. Tsuyashi!
There you go. No, I'm sure Uva will be back eventually, because I can't imagine at least part of the end of the series won't involve all the greed back fighting at the same time again. And no, possibly all... What?
We need to see Kogami on a ride vendor.
Yeah.
His magnificent boa blowing in the wind.
No. Kogami would be in this, like, checker pattern orange and white leather jacket.
And matching pants.
Yes.
And it, remember, it would be textured, too.
It totally would.
But how can he bake while driving?
Well, that's why he's...
Way. Yeah, no, it would have like a oven in there too. So
no, he's on the ride
and a sidecar holding the cake.
Yes, that's perfect.
How do you think he got to the restaurant the other week?
Born to be wild.
Yeah, I can see Kogami in a rickshaw as well.
Yes,
maybe that'll be in the summer movie.
Yeah, well, he would
that
have the radio. Well, the radio would be blaring happy birthday, so...
Yes, but it would be the version of happy birthday from the first episode with
yeah,
the really
with the record.
Slow, creepy... Yeah. And optionally with a squad of ride vendors reenacting the montage of being slaughtered. Just because.
That's easy enough to reenact.
Huh?
That's easy enough to reenact. Nobody will miss them.
Right. So yeah, O's wasn't quite as, it wasn't quite like Gokaiger in terms of story advancement, but, you know, something happened.
Next week looks interesting.
Well, yeah, Sorry. There's no, Uva to screw things up, so.
I thought Eiji was the one who screwed things up.
I thought it was all Decade's fault. No?
Eh.
Yeah, so.
Run into the ground.
Yeah, Fort Max.
Only 2 years.
So next week, Birth is apparently bought by the Greed.
That's upsetting.
Yeah, kind of
is.
Bit,
yeah. I'm sure it all makes sense in the actual episode. As much sense as O's ever makes.
I bet
it's a real
trap, a clever ruse.
And the reason for it probably all depends on what he really wants the 100 million yen for.
Especially if he's afraid he won't have enough time to actually earn that much himself normally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's on his way out, it looks like.
Well, he's not doing so hot lately.
No.
My vote is on an operation.
That he dies during?
A sex change operation.
Oh.
I originally thought that he was wanting the money because I think Maki said something in an earlier episode about his condition or whatever. So I thought, you know, he was getting the money to, you know, for himself. But after this episode, it doesn't seem like that.
Yeah, he's got something in mind. We'll just have to wait and see what it is.
I say whores.
That is a lot of nickels.
That is an intro quote right there, Paladin.
So glad I could help.
Yes. As always. Okay,
this time I am more help than I'm trying to be.
All right. All right, let's take a break and come back to a review and then power playback.
Superhero time!
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna, and do you like video games? Do you like people who like video games? Well, if so, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. It's the weekly video game podcast of record. News, rumors, in-depth discussion of new and retro gaming, plus the occasional contest or giveaway. So if you game, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. Check us out at tfradio.net, a proud member of the Transformers Internet Radio Network.
The third strike, y'all, the Street Fighter 3.
Welcome one more time to Paladin's Place, and congratulations! You've managed to survive Superhero Time's Rider Movie Month. For our final entry in this series of Rider reviews, I'm introducing you to the most recent Kamen Rider in the Heisei era, Kamen Rider Birth, a new combat system developed by the Kogami Foundation in order to harvest the mysterious artifacts known as Cell Metals, which act as the power source for virtually every faction in the current series, Kamen Rider O's. At the moment, Birth is operated by Dr. Date Akira, renowned world traveler and Odin connoisseur. The primary action figure series for Kamen Rider O's is known as Combo Change, and specifically highlights the part-swapping abilities featured in this series. So, let's take a look at Combo Change Kamen Rider Birth. At first glance, you can tell that Birth is clearly a human-made rider suit. The design is primarily technological as opposed to the fairly mythical elements of various O's suits. This Combo Change figure is roughly in scale with most of the other rider toy lines I've reviewed over the past month, say SH Figuarts, for example, and possesses a respectable amount of articulation, lacking only a movable waist to achieve full range of posability. Birth's preferred weapon in most fights is a sidearm known as the Birth Buster, and this gun represents the biggest problem I have with this figure. In the show, Birth Buster is a relatively large gun that requires careful practice to aim and fire, but the Combo Change Buster is much smaller, about the size of a simple pistol. The lack of proper scale is a big disappointment to me, but this doesn't detract from the real features of this figure. Kamen Rider Birth's primary combat system is referred to as Birth Claws, and manifests as different magnetized armor pieces deployed from the various capsules within Birth's suit. In other words, Kamen Rider Birth is a human gashapon, and the armor serves as combat prizes. Birth's claw system abilities include Drill Arm, activated within the right arm, probably his preferred combat weapon, a hand-mounted drill that can pierce the heavens. I mean opponents, sorry. And Shovel Arm, contained within the left arm, allows Birth to lift and throw tremendous objects. Insert mother joke here.
Your mom came up O's.
Next, Crane Arm, located within the shoulder pods, lets Birth climb buildings and travel across otherwise limited distances. Crane Arm can also be combined with Drill Arm to give Birth long-range attack capabilities. Caterpillar legs are naturally found in Birth's leg pods, and by using them, Birth can move across rough terrains and perform much tougher rider kicks. Next, Cutter Wing, the least utilized armor in the claw system, is mounted on Birth's back and grants limited flight capabilities. And last but not least, the armor pod on Birth's chest activates Breast Cannon. And stop giggling at that. The cannon is usually Birth's best method of defeating enemies, provided it's been charged enough. The armor system parts at this scale are very impressive. The pieces are fully detailed and lock into place well, with the possible exception of the cannon, but maybe that's just mine. And above all, they manage to function without totally prohibiting Birth's articulation level. But using the armor on its own sometimes isn't enough, so Kamen Rider Birth has a couple more tricks hidden in his suit. Activating all the armor pods at once creates a battle configuration referred to as Kamen Rider Birth Day. I've had a strange fondness for this form ever since it was revealed, and I finally think I understand why. This is basically a human-shaped version of my favorite Ultra Zord, Ultimate Daibouken. And for the most part, Birth retains posability in Birthday form, but some of the armor bits, specifically Cannon again, can block movement. And finally, Burst's most powerful and most expensive armor ability is the Claw Sasori, combining all pieces of the armor to create a robotic scorpion that can be remotely operated by Burst.
Change. Scorpion.
The actual combination of armor pieces is quite innovative, and the resulting scorpion looks like it was made by someone with only the vaguest idea of how a scorpion looks. Even though it's ugly, the combined form is a nice final feature of sorts for this set. I'd say Kamen Rider Combo Change Birth is definitely worth your money if you're a fan of this design. It's a faithful and affordable representation of the character with all the necessary action features, and it manages to be a really fun toy on top of all that. Definitely gets my highest recommendation. Tim Curry. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more Superhero Time.
Espere, espere, espere. Ai, 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 ai. Zoldon, o que que há no globo visualizador?
É o futuro que está vendo, Alpha. É o Ranger Branco.
From Beast Wars to Zeta Gundam, FigureReviews.com features a library of in-depth action figure reviews and high-quality photography reaching back to 2005.
XV and RAC carefully evaluate each figure and rate it on a non-numerical scale ranging from state-of-the-art to shoot-yourself, using a special formula based on years of toy reviewing experience.
Text, photos, video, audio, informative awesome in every format. FigureReviews.com.
Okay, so power playback. Finally, we have come to the end of Rider Movie Month here on Superhero Time. With, Movie Wars Core. The sort of...
We're going out with a whimper.
Yeah, the sort of anticipated crossover between O's and Double again. Don't worry. Along with some other stuff.
Well, mostly cool Skull.
At least it was cool for 40 minutes.
All of which involves Skull.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, and the end credits part, so...
Well, that was also part of the Skull story, technically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a crossover fight.
The only really good part to this is the framing for the movie, which is Terui and Akiko's wedding day, and the Skull flashbacks.
The fight was good if you don't think about it, but I guess we'll get to that.
All I'm going to say is during the crossover fight, I fell asleep through it twice.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Cool.
I just asked for it three times.
Which is sad, because the fight had a couple of good elements in it.
One was that it ended, right? What was the other?
I like Double's reaction to Ankh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the fact that Ankh finally showed up after not even a collective minute in the O's part.
Yeah, the reaction to Ankh was classic Shotaro.
And I also liked O's reaction to Double's signature.
Right.
We should come up with something like that, too.
Okay, but we'll...
Forehead flap.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a little bit. So, it's Terui and Akiko's wedding day, but wouldn't you know, a Pteranodon monster has decided to run amok.
Isn't that always the way?
As Double pummels the thing, it starts shedding metals, confusing Shotaro, and even more so as Philip identifies that it's not a dopant. Terui runs up and smashes the Pteranodon with the engine blade, but he hasn't transformed. As Shotaro points this out, Terui responds with an embarrassed, "Don't ask."
Well, that's
which is at least how I would have translated that line if I was doing the subtitles.
Don't ask me questions!
Yeah. A scream in the distance catches everyone's attention, though, and it's Akiko, in wedding dress, running up to the fight, even as the Pteranodon Yummy...
A wedding miniskirt.
Well, even as the Pteranodon Yummy is shooting in her general direction, causing explosions all around her, she's going to be deterred.
She's dealt with worse at this point.
Akiko catches up to Terui and knocks him upside with the head with her slipper in a wedding dress.
I think that's the first time we actually have seen her do that to him instead of Shotaro.
And he better get used to that.
Yes.
Well, remember, we've already seen an example of their married life.
Yes, it's true. I'm just talking chronologically.
Yeah, I know. anyway, this distraction allows Zemi to escape. Meanwhile, Akiko is a bit upset that the boys are out fighting on her wedding day, but Shotaro asks what she expects them to do, being that they're all riders. And then Akiko kind of flips out, and Terui explains that she's developed an allergy to this whole rider business. Akiko demonstrates this by holding up the confiscated Excel memory and driver and saying,
"No more! Kamen Rider!"
in broken English.
The best kind of English.
Yes. She tells Terui then that if he wants his toys back so badly, that maybe she doesn't want to get married anymore anyway, and runs off crying.
I think Akiko has some severe abandonment issues.
Well, yes, then she...
That's understandable, considering what happened to her dad.
Yeah. And then she's seen complaining about how all the people around her are riders, even her father. The Pteranodon Yummy overhears this and grabs her, because it wants to know more about Kamen Riders, and it produces the memory, really, to learn about Kamen Rider Skull.
As a brief aside, the memory actually came out with the Black Metals in Japan, was it last week or so?
Probably.
And the memory does not actually say memory.
What does it say?
It says Bat, Spider, and Core.
That kind of blows. Stupid.
It is very stupid.
Yeah.
Secondly, how does the memory pull out a memory of Skull that Akiko did not even know?
Weebly wobbly.
Don't think about it.
That, yes.
Isn't that Fort Max's line?
Well, I think the solution here is that it had access to the home video version of the movie.
Isn't that kind of a Spaceballs thing?
We make a lot of Spaceballs references. I don't know why, but it comes up a lot in conversation.
I don't know why either, except that, you know, it's Spaceballs.
It's Spaceballs, that's why.
So Therese,
I don't mention any other conversations. I only want to talk with you guys.
We're special.
So preparing to rewind, we wind up back with Skull.
Yes, through a series of flashbacks, Skull's story unfolds, starting at the beginning of Gaia memory distribution in Futo. And Narumi is taken on a job protecting a singer, Melissa, who happens to look a lot like somebody, but I just can't place it.
It's kind of creepy.
Are they the same actor?
Yeah. It's Akiko's actor.
Good catch, Wingus. So Melissa has started
At this point, Akiko is already born.
Yes.
Living with her mom.
Right.
Right. We never see her mom, do we?
Nope.
No. This is somewhere around 10 years earlier.
Sorry?
About 10 years before Double.
Okay, yeah, but are they implying that this chick is actually Akiko's real mom?
No.
Okay, so it's just a creepy actress reuse then.
Yes.
Basically.
Okay.
With the same habits.
She did a good job, though.
Okay, so Melissa has been receiving stalkerish messages from someone calling himself the Spider-Man. No, Fort Max, not that Spider-Man. The Spider-Man attacks a concert where Melissa is performing. He had sent a note before the show making threats against the audience if she didn't sing the song he asked for and, you know, sing it perfectly. Narumi attends the concert to keep an eye on Melissa, and his partner advises him to be wary of the people Melissa associates with, not the least of which is her manager, who is rumored to have underworld connections.
Dun dun dun.
Yeah, pretty much. And as promised, the spider dopant attacks the concert. And while the Futo police respond, well, you know.
As well as they ever do.
Well, it's Futo.
Yeah.
There's also young Shotaro and Marina.
Yes. That was
a defining moment for the young lad.
Yeah. It set the pattern for the rest of his life. Sadly.
For better or worse.
Of all the things to see that day. So Narumi does what he can to protect Melissa, but ends up spun up into a web. He uses a stag phone to attack the spider dopant, but only manages to get dropped back onto the stage.
Stage?
Yes, the pillow stage.
He's so hard-boiled, he goes through the stage.
Spider Dupont uses the distraction to escape unseen. So later back at the office, Narumi goes into the allegedly haunted basement to have a word with Shroud, who apparently he's been friends with even before she started wearing bandages and making forest glow and giving people dirt bikes.
Apparently she was a lot hotter 10 years ago.
It's just the hairstyle.
Well, weren't we all?
It's just and a different
leather.
Wig.
I mean, yeah. If you just count the horrible burns.
Well, yeah.
Different wig and a bodysuit.
Right. Well, she was a lot younger then, too.
In the dark, who's going to tell the difference, right?
Hey, as long as she keeps the bandages on, who cares?
Oh.
Well, it's your nickel.
I want my money back.
So,
all sales final.
Shrouded
no
deposit,
no return.
Shrouded warm.
Not your mom, but Phillips.
She had warned Narumi earlier about the Dupont's that may soon be coming around the city and had started developing the gear to fight them, such as the stag phone. And while we see her talking to him, she is working on a very large vehicle of some sort. I wonder what that could be.
Merchandising.
Actually, I don't think they have any merchandise for that thing yet.
Well, not that version of it, no.
Yeah, that's true.
And they probably won't, because I don't think the Revolgary actually sold that well.
They didn't make imagine why.
Well, they didn't make... No, I'm thinking of the figure. Never mind. Go ahead.
So, Shroud urges Narumi to take the skull memory and driver, but he refuses, claiming the phone is good enough.
Because he's just that hard-boiled.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or stupid.
That comes with being hard-boiled.
So, as Narumi investigates into this whole Spider Dupont business, his main suspect as to its true identity is Melissa's manager. And after learning a number of young girls under his representation had gone missing, Narumi goes investigating around the manager's residence. And he just happens to discover a room full of young girls in bikinis around a pool.
He stumbled into a Master P video.
Yes, I'm not exactly sure this is the case that Narumi intended to uncover. But as it turns out, they're actually being using Gaia memory experiments.
Same thing.
Yeah. It's the Gaia memory experience.
Only 1999.
I'll never forget it.
So, upon making this discovery, Narumi is attacked by several masquerade Dupont's. And Narumi's informant, who had helped him onto the property, is then killed by Bat Dupont just before Spider also arrives. The fight moves to a construction site placed conveniently next door, as all construction sites are.
Isn't every house in Japan either surrounded? Have a neighboring construction site and a quarry.
Yeah,
and
something
of course
like that.
Everyone leaves the keys in the construction equipment.
Right.
Well, this was more like the Bat Dupont could control it. So.
Right. Somehow.
Crazy sonar hand.
Yeah, sonar works like that, just like it works like radar.
I said,
sonar works differently in Japan than in America.
And differently.
It's
different what it needs to do.
It has more science over there.
Yes, this is full of Dupont super science.
It's a kind of magic.
So I assume at some point they murdered a puppy for it.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I think Ryubei would do that.
So the Dupont's nearly overwhelm Narumi before Shroud arrives to save him. And then she forces his first transformation by throwing the loaded driver onto him.
Transformation rape!
But Skull's transformation hasn't had time to stabilize before he has to start fighting the Dupont's again.
Whatever kind of, that means.
Yeah, I don't
kind of
know.
Good thing she did that, though. Otherwise, you know, he'd be a smear on the wall.
Apparently, Fort Max has their explanation for why he has a crystal head.
It means we can sell another exclusive Vigo art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the BS reason is that he was unwilling or something.
Or he didn't have the hat on.
Th- That's also a possibility.
I will accept that explanation.
So,
or it means he can survive a nuclear bomb in a refrigerator.
Well, I don't know.
More out of him than Indy.
I don't know about a nuclear bomb in a refrigerator, but apparently it lets him survive being pinned under a front end loader.
At least long enough to answer his phone.
Yes. Well, it was Akiko's birthday.
You gotta kind of love that, though, because it's like, you know, you're just getting crushed to death. You get a call from your daughter. It's like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Hard-boiled, man. Hard-boiled.
And when Akiko asks him what he's doing, he says he's working and feels like he's being crushed by the bad guys.
Oh, don't worry. They're just trying to kill him with a forklift.
They tried to kill me with the forklift.
God, don't do that again, please.
I am saving that one, too.
It's a early preview of Superhero Time the Musical, too.
Under pressure! Oh, wow.
So, Narumi's short conversation with Akiko gives him the will to summon up all of the skull power he has and break free from the front-end loader.
But, of course.
But the dopants escape, and Narumi heads back to the manager's house. His suspicion's proven false, though, because the manager is killed by a trap card set by Spider Dopant, who promptly arrives to gloat over it. Yes, we need Yu-Gi-Oh! References, too.
But he doesn't have a motorcycle yet.
Wrong Yu-Gi-Oh!
There is no wrong time for card games on motorcycles.
Leave Decade out of this. Yu-Gi-Oh.
Well, Paladin, that's two quotes I got from you today. Because, yes, there is no wrong time for card games on motorcycles. let's see. So, the spider leaves a message written in webbing and flees the scene, but Narumi finds a clue he needs and realizes the dopant's identity.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Narumi finds his partner at the library, but today he doesn't need research assistance. Instead, he punches Matsu right in the face, sending him and his Gaia memory flying.
No, not in the face.
So, but who else called Matsu being spider early?
Actually, me. I was a little surprised by that, but I guess I'm just not as savvy as the rest of you.
I didn't.
Yes, Mickey, we know you have a huge crush on the actor.
Well, he's pretty, pretty.
Anyway, with nothing left to hide, Matsu reveals his resentment for Narumi's tendency to be awesome as he kicks a book card at Narumi and runs off with a spider memory.
But you gotta admit, that is a legitimate complaint.
Yeah.
Narumi pursues him, intent on beating him into submission, because that's the hard-boiled thing to do. As he again sends Matsu sprawling out on the floor, Melissa runs up to stop him, explaining that she knew... she explains that Matsu knew the rumor about her manager and became the spider to try to protect her. Matsu then explains his self-loathing and his unrequited love for Melissa, and then how his spider bombs work, infecting a person, and then jumping to and killing the person they most love upon contact. Because that makes perfect
thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at the concert earlier, Matsu put one of the bombs in Melissa and warned her against touching Narumi. If she didn't want him to die anyway.
See, this also shows that Matsu's just a little bit suicidal, because if he ever got her to, you know, love him, then that means he would die.
Yeah, I thought of that too. By now, Matsu is rather enraged and transforms into Spider Dopant again and takes Narumi out to the roof, where he infects him with a spider bomb now, as well as scattering hundreds more over the city. And moments later, explosions erupt in the distance, and Matsu abducts Melissa and swings away. So, now we've added mass murder to his crimes.
Very
mass. That's a lot of counting.
Yeah. Narumi tries to pursue, but is hindered by Bat Dopant, who he gets out of the way with a quick punch to the face as Skull. lot of face punching going on around here. Bat uses her ability to control machines, and the chase scene ensues. With the Skull Boiler and the Skull Gary, the vehicle battle is ended when Skull makes a fuel tanker flip over and pin Bat under it. Skull allows Bat to be destroyed as the tanker explodes.
Which was kind of yikes.
Yeah.
Cool guys don't look at explosions.
Maybe they hadn't figured out the whole memory break thing at that point.
Yeah.
It's broken. What more do you want?
I did like that Skull says toe.
Why?
Because that's the whenever like Rider 1 and 2, whenever they are jumping up and kicking somebody in the face, that's usually what they shout.
Why?
I don't know. It's just like a sound that comes out, like hi-ya.
Or that weird thing AG says every time he kills a yummy.
See, actually, AG's noise kind of reminded me of some of the noises Tommy made when fighting.
No way!
Not that noise. Yeah. Yeah. So, Skull confronts Matsu, and after counting his own crimes, not seeing his own friend's inner darkness, hesitating when it came time to fight him, and letting the city suffer as a result of those mistakes, Narumi demands Matsu now do the same and take responsibility.
That was my favorite part right there, is when he birthed the phrase.
Yeah. Matsu rushes into attack, followed by my favorite part, where Skull's at full power, and a screaming energy Skull emerges from his body, blowing Matsu back.
Yeah, that was kind of a what-the-f*** moment in this, too.
It really was.
Where the hell did that ability come from?
Well, every time Skull appears, he has a new ability.
Yeah.
So Skull performs a maximum drive, which just involves him kicking the energy Skull into Matsu, causing a memory break, but then also killing Matsu as well.
I don't think he killed him, did it?
Yeah.
That was the impression I got.
I don't know. I thought he just passed out.
Melissa's kind of broken up over the whole thing, but Narumi explains to her that Matsu had given up his humanity, and there really was no coming back from what the guy memory had turned him into. But Melissa then But Melissa tells Narumi that he's just the same now anyway.
Cold.
And that's the end of the flashback.
All right, well, that was a good movie.
But wait, there's more.
No! You hear this thudding sound? That's me beating my head against the desk.
Yeah.
Don't the black one. It can't be possibly worse than the Skull Gary.
Wait, what's wrong with the Skull Gary?
I find it to be horribly lame. It's like something the monsters would drive.
Well, it looks a lot cooler than the Revol Gary.
I'm not saying the Revol Gary looks very good either.
Okay, Mickey first.
I'm not seeing the Revol Gary look very good either.
Now Paladin.
Does that mean there should be a Rob Zombie song about the Revol Gary?
Yes,
Skull Gary.
This isn't a '90s soundtrack.
Okay, so the O's segment of the movie involves the discovery of the mummy of Oda Nobunaga. Cause why not?
And Nobunaga's bad itching.
Kogami decides to run a grand experiment and use metal technology to reanimate Nobunaga in a new body constructed of cell metals.
Because that makes perfect sense.
Sure!
I kind of like the concept, mostly because I like Kogami doing crazy weird stuff just because he wants to, because he's Kogami. He can do
I mean, it's perfectly in line with Kogami's character, where he wants to do something, so he's going to do it.
No matter how insane it might be.
Not like he doesn't have the money for it.
This is true.
But as soon as the new Nobunaga awakens, he goes berserk and escapes from the laboratory. But
while
I mean,
Independence Day in the process.
Well, who is Nobunaga anyway?
He conquered most of Japan.
A long time ago.
He had an ambition to rule the entire world.
But
Japan,
he would be
known for his great and unlimited desire.
But he was betrayed by his inner circle.
Yeah, in history, he's kind of a big deal.
And
yeah,
if you want
Alexander the Great and Caesar, mash them together and make them Japanese.
He was also the main villain of the first
season.
How many
cities does he have named after him?
No, it's better than that, because in the first season of Sengoku Basara, he was the main villain.
What?
Yes.
No, I didn't understand what you said.
In the first season of Sengoku Basara, Nobunaga is the main villain.
He's generally not viewed as a very heroic character.
No.
Yeah.
Well, he was a conqueror. I mean, it kind of works that way.
Yeah.
Besides, wouldn't you go berserk too if you woke up naked in a big tank in a strange lab?
With the guy man with the cake?
Yeah.
And a strange man with the doll?
Happy birthday!
I mean, this whole progression seems fairly reasonable when you stop and think about it.
Of course it does.
So
he's probably just upset that Ranmaru Mori wasn't there to greet him.
Sure. So by a ridiculous coincidence, Eiji finds him and, deciding he needs help, takes him in to teach him the way of the world and tomorrow's underwear. Because
pants man.
One thing I was wondering, towards the beginning there where he's just handing money out to homeless people, considering recent episodes, isn't that just like seriously, seriously out of character?
Well, yes. First of all, I think the movie was shot like around episode 4 of those.
Yeah. Obviously, they were intending to do something entirely different.
That's my impression,
well, and
too.
And it was written by someone who wasn't...
Was not involved in the overall story editing, yeah.
Episode, so. Yeah, in no way.
Yeah, okay.
And it shows badly.
Okay, yep. So one day while working a part-time delivery job with AG, Nobunaga corrects deep flaws in the company's underdevelopment software. Because,
okay.
You know, he can do that.
Yeah, why not?
He is the Oda. He can do that.
No, he's the Nobunaga. He's hired on the spot.
I am a fan.
And from here, he begins a steady rise amassing wealth and power. After all, he is Nobunaga. No matter how the world has changed, he will find a way to take it over.
How long did that take him? What, 3 days?
About 5 minutes of movie time.
So yeah, 3 days.
I'm being generous.
3 days is what it felt like, so...
Yeah.
Oh.
So one day Nobunaga attends an auction where some of his old belongings, now historic artifacts, are being sold. Kogami just also happens to be present, and a bidding war proceeds between them. Nobunaga only wins his prize by offering to surrender the interest he secretly had acquired in the Kogami Foundation back to Kogami.
5 minutes ago.
Later, as Kogami's giving him a ride home in his limo, they get to talking, and Kogami ends up offering Nobunaga the newly developed birth system. Curious how a being of desire like Nobunaga would decide to use it.
Which is weird, to say the least.
It's
and
Kogami,
dangerous.
Though.
Especially considering it has no relevancy to the rest of the movie.
It's not like anything in this O's part has any relevance to anything in any movie.
This is true.
So, one later day, Eiji is working another job, now as a cleaner, and finds himself in Nobunaga's office. Nobunaga immediately fires him, calling him a failure of a human with no ambition, aspiring to nothing.
Can't fault him for his honesty.
And that's basically the whole scene, just that happening.
Oh, hey, you wearing those underwear?
Yeah.
For no reason, yeah. And then he walks off.
Yeah, that happens too. You still wearing those underwear I gave you about a month ago?
What?
Yeah, because that's not creepy at all.
So, sometime after this, the Pteranodon yummy appears with the memory, seeking still to learn more. Or maybe just starting to learn, because it's not really clear how this all times out. Nobunaga,
or maybe he got fed up with Akiko, too.
Yeah. Nobunaga just happens to be close to where it appears, and calls for news to come quickly to report on what's about to happen. Nobunaga confronts the yummy and transforms into Birth. He's fighting the Pteranodon and shows a good chance of defeating it, but stops short to rescue a girl pinned under an overturned car. Because he, unlike Skull, he's not going to just blow it up and kill her in the process.
Well, this girl wasn't trying to kill him, though.
Well, Nobunaga reasons to himself that before he can take over the world, he'll need the support of the people, which he can win by fighting for them as Birth.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, it's hard to take over the world with bad PR, so...
That's true. So, it turns out, really surprising no one, that the process of making a human body out of metals led to Nobunaga being able to transform into something like a greed, which is revealed to the audience, as if it needed to be, when Nobunaga attacks Hina's friend Yoshino. Nobunaga has all this time been using his greed form to attack apparent descendants of the people who betrayed him in his original life. In the process of the attack, he collapses a wall onto Yoshino, crushing her ankle. Another unseen greed uses Yoshino's desire to be a dancer to spawn a second Pteranodon Yummy while Oz and Nobunaga are fighting.
So which greed was that?
The non-existent dinosaur greed.
Well, no, there was like some... Well, the
what?
Other greed recognized whose yummies it was, but it was...
They called him Gil.
I'm just gonna
Gil from The Simpsons?
Isn't Gil the real name of Commander Nepotism?
Yes.
Considering... I'm just gonna, like, pretend it was Maki, considering he had the black metals later on, so I'm just gonna... That just makes my head hurt a bit
less. What black metals?
And then later, and then in the show, when they see dinos, they're like, oh, hey, where did those come from? It's like, oh, hey.
Yeah, the only thing you can really do is just take the O's segment of this as being out of continuity with everything else.
Or
yeah.
it's the O's in the doubles universe.
Well, whatever.
I'm just going to pretend I never watched it at all.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
So the new Pteranodon interrupts the fight briefly before Oz destroys it.
And this definitely can't fit into the continuity because he has all the wrong metals at this time.
Well, he's also walking around with the metal case, which never happened.
At least not yet.
Well,
Ankh is nowhere in sight.
Not until Ankh gets absorbed, anyway.
Ankh is nowhere in sight except for about 15 seconds, 5 minutes into the movie.
And then toward the end, it was like, blah, blah, you're naive, ha ha.
Whatever.
Basically, yeah.
So after
it showed
Oz
up to be a Nelson.
Yeah.
And he's on a ride vendor, which is also out of continuity because Ankh would never pay for that.
Ankh does sometimes use
ride
vendors.
Yeah, he's on a ride vendor. Has been on ride vendors many times before.
Yeah.
Not without AG.
Yeah, he has.
No, he has, yeah.
There was an episode where he had to take one to get to AG to give him the medals, remember? It was the
But he's not going to AG in this, apparently, which is my point.
Doesn't mean that Ankh doesn't have things he does on his own.
Like leave your mother out of this.
He's making a popsicle run.
Okay, so after Oz destroys the Pteranodon Yummy, Nobunaga suddenly returns to his human form as his cell metal body is starting to break down. Nobunaga's memories become clouded and he runs off. Upon encountering AG again later in the city, he asks how he can live and be happy without any desires. AG answers in a typically AG way, but somehow Nobunaga seems to get the idea, clearly evidence of brain damage, and goes to the hospital where
Yoshino... his brain too?
Well, he is birth.
Nobunaga goes to the hospital where Yoshino is and uses what remains of his metal power to heal her leg so that she can still have her desire.
Because
audiences want a happy ending.
So as his body
never do that.
As his body is about to fail completely, Dr. Maki appears and places three black core metals in him, forcing a further transformation into his greed form. He fights Eiji again, and what remains of Nobunaga's human mind pleads with Eiji to finish him. Eiji has no choice but to do so and uses Sigorizo to destroy the greed. Nobunaga, in his last moments, thanks Eiji for teaching him about what's really important before breaking down into cell metals. And the black core metals within him fly off, with Eiji giving chase.
Never to be seen or mentioned again.
Thank God.
Except in the next 5 minutes.
Yeah. So in the movie wars segment...
Than the Nobunaga stuff.
What?
In what is arguably a better use than the Nobunaga stuff, and that's saying something considering what they do with the memory.
So in the movie wars segment, the memory is now full with the memories of intense writer battles. Okay.
That's stupid.
It's the average Japanese young boy's hard drive, then.
the Pteranodon.
No, I think it'd be called
no, it's what Kogami has on its DVR.
Yes.
Yeah, there. We'll go
it's
with
our
that.
Hard drives.
The Pteranodon Yummy is prepared to use this power, but the black core metals suddenly appear and combine with the Gaia memory, somehow forming the fiery image of a Twisted Rider, Kamen Rider Core.
Ghost Rider!
The Gaia memory voice.
Akiko is... What?
Or Soul Calibur Inferno.
Not quite.
Akiko...
Maybe.
Akiko is
overdosed
never...
on Burning Justice.
Burning Injustice. Akiko is narrowly saved from Kamen Rider Core by the timely arrival of Eiji, and Eiji, for some reason, takes a moment to assure Akiko that Narumi must have had a good reason to fight his skull before he goes his oaths to join the battle against Core.
I have to wonder, did Eiji run all the way to Futo?
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds like Eiji.
Yeah.
Well, he was just passing by in... A to Z, so...
This is true.
Oh, then he was chasing a metal that ran away from him.
Right. Well, he's now he's chasing three more that ran away from him. So, Core is incredibly strong, and Oz and Double can't beat it. Philip reasons that it's getting power from some Gaia memory source underground, so Double and Oz head down to destroy that and cut off some of Core's power.
And they blow up Producer Town.
While being chased by Core, who has reformed his own body to include the image of a flaming motorcycle.
Which is friggin' metal.
No, it's Ghost Rider.
Yes, it is.
I will give him that.
They discover a giant crystal, a manifestation of Earth's memories. And Ankh points out that it must be... Ankh, who appears out of nowhere, points out that it must be a decent power source to be driving something like Core...
And
Shotaro
points out, what the f*** is that flying arm?
Yeah, Shotaro counters that decent doesn't begin to describe it before noticing he's talking to a floating arm and having a little freak out.
A little freak out.
And Philip just has no reaction. That amused me. It's like, you know what? I'm a concentration of data. My family made USB drives that turn people into monsters. Flying arm ain't nothing.
Yeah, really. He seemed weirder.
He is weirder.
So Double and O's destroy the crystal, but it doesn't really seem to be hurting Core very much, who blasts the riders even deeper to the shores of an underground lake. Back on the surface,
that makes perfect.
There's underground water, just nobody's tapped into
it
for a while, I guess. So back on the surface, Terui grabs the Excel driver memory back from Akiko, explaining that he has to keep being a rider so that he can protect her. And then goes to transform into Excel and fight the Pteranodon Yummy. Makes sense, I guess.
Disappointing, but hey, he already got his own movie.
Yeah. Shotaro tells Core
well,
that he's a...
after this, but...
Shotaro tells Core that he's a misrepresentation of what Kamen Riders are about, and that he's an abomination that tarnishes their name. While AG fanboys over the cool speech and asks Ankh why they can't say stuff like that. Ankh is not amused.
And Ankh just tells him to shut up.
First Ankh's response is forehead slap.
Yeah.
Eyes forward.
Moron.
Super effective.
Excel isn't doing great against the Pteranodon Yummy, but is helped by the sudden intervention of Birth, now operated by Goto.
Happy birthday.
Excel charges a maximum drive, and Birth sets the Birth Buster for a Cell Burst. And their combined attack destroys the Yummy, which then rains cell metals down on them.
But no Kandroid swoop down to pick them up.
No.
Nah.
And, of course, Goto is not out for 100 million, so he's not swinging around the drill arm to pick them up either.
And he doesn't have the jug.
Right. Back down below, Core grabs Oz and slams him into the wall of the cavern. As AG's death would be an inconvenience for him, Ankh pulls out two hidden core metals and tosses them to Oz, allowing him to use Ankh's combo, which I'm sure was much more impressive when there wasn't 15 episodes of it run before the movie debut.
That's quite possible, yes.
Oops.
But in this case, the power of Tajidoru is so awesome it allows Cyclone Joker to Golden Armor Digivolve again.
Well, when the movie premiered in theaters, those episodes hadn't aired yet.
That was my point, Fort Max. Thank you.
Only around episode 13 or so, I think.
Yep.
But yes, the Force of Wind kicked up by Tajidoru allows Double to become Cyclone Joker Gold Extreme, or Extreme Gold or something, I don't remember.
Gold Extreme.
Extra Gold.
Yeah.
Extreme enough to do.
Because it's gold plastic.
Right. So
I have
between
that gold plastic coming to me.
So between a scanning charge and a maximum drive, they destroy Kamen Rider Core, breaking the memory as well as the Black Core medals, which will never be mentioned again. Philip and Shotaro return to the surface, and Philip reminds Akiko about the wedding, while Goto wonders where Oz went. Meanwhile, a manhole cover is pushed open, and out climbs Eiji in Brazil.
Yeah, what the f*** was up with that?
And just randomly, so Chiyoko is there too.
Yes!
A week late for Carnival. For why?
I thought that was hilarious, personally.
Because they couldn't think of anything else to f***ing do with it.
That's Wait, usually the reason.
Was this mansion the same set they used in the episode of Gokaiser with the rich people?
Don't think so.
Okay.
Guess it could have been.
It looked familiar, but from a different angle or something.
Well, yeah, Toei does reuse their sets a lot.
Yeah.
So, back in Japan, the wedding is finally about to start. Melissa suddenly appears, without showing her face, mind you, to deliver a message from Narumi. And Akiko is finally made to realize that the reason Narumi never came home again was because of the spider bomb he'd been infected with, and understands that he did it to keep her safe, because he loved her the most.
Aww.
Shotaro is excused from his duty of walking Akiko down the aisle, because instead Akiko is going with her father's spirit at her side. Much like how his spirit arrived to give Shotaro a lost driver in the last movie.
And it makes just as much sense here.
Yep. Oh, and
well, no, it makes less sense because Akiko hasn't blown up.
Oh, and Eiji somehow gets a ride back home with Chiyoko, but it's better not to think too much about that.
He's just so hard-boiled, he can just pop back whenever he needs to.
No, that's Eiji.
Yeah, that...
Not Shotaro.
That
so,
with...
yeah, that was Movie Wars Core.
That thing going down
it
the
certainly
aisle.
Was. I get it from a sentimental point, but yeah, kind of weird.
Very weird.
Yeah. That was definitely not what I was expecting it to be.
I was expecting it to be good.
That's kind of what I mean.
It was good for 40 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, the skull parts were pretty good. It was just, you know, the O's part that doesn't fit in with anything else, and the questionable team-up.
I don't even care about the O's part fitting in. It's just that the O's part was not very good, even if it did fit in.
I mean, they could have taken the skull portion out of this and done that like they did Excel as a double returns movie, direct-to-video, and it would
and
have
it
worked
might have been better
fine.
That way.
It might.
No, it would have been better.
It would have been longer, too.
Well, maybe by 5 minutes, yeah.
By about 20 minutes or so, probably.
But wasn't Double Returns Excel like 45 minutes?
An hour.
Oh, was it?
Yep.
Okay, then.
Just flew by, didn't it?
Well, it was a much more enjoyable product, wasn't it?
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Well, look on the bright side.
Eternal.
Do we even care
about
Eternal?
The Misadventures of Zombie David Bowie.
Yes. See, I like Eternal because of that.
But will he throw a baby up into the air?
Maybe.
Probably. It is Japan. It's not like they don't have any to spare.
He is the Goblin Queen.
Well, look on the bright side. At least next month we don't have a Rider movie to watch.
We don't have a theme at all next month, do we?
No, we're taking a break.
So no
These
show?
These themes are wearing
Good.
Us out.
No, we're doing a show next week that's just not going to have a theme. Except for the theme song.
We have a theme song?
Yes, it's composed of funny clips of stuff we say during the show.
We say funny things?
Yes, like
me. Intentionally.
Yeah, yes, like Mickey saying tight anus. I personally find that hilarious.
I'm not the one that named that Megazord.
Oh,
God. Who snorted?
I did.
I don't even need to remark on that one. So, yeah. I guess we could have done without Movie Wars Core, but...
Oh, well.
It's new, so...
It's over with now.
Jay.
No, I think Jay was actually...
No, stuff happened in... Stuff that sort of made sense actually happened in Jay, so...
Plus, footage from this movie was not adapted into an episode of Saban's Masked Rider extremely inappropriately.
Okay, better than the first?
Probably.
Better than Godspeed Love. Yes?
Well,
no?
That's not encouraging for me, because I'm watching Kabuto right now.
Well, you can probably skip the movie. It's not that important.
Yeah, I know it's the whole AU thing, but...
Yeah.
It doesn't have anything to do with the series.
Except that it kind of starts the series.
Sort of, but not really.
What?
Exactly.
Yeah. The movie's not important. You can just skip over it.
Oh,
don't mind
okay.
This is a sort of alternate universe somehow, but also
that
somehow...
That through time travel kind of leads into another sort of alternate universe, maybe.
Is there at least some enjoyable Dice K or Tsurugi in it?
No.
Oh, crap. Screw that movie, then.
No, the sword's not even in it at all. I think the movie was shot before they introduced the character in the series.
Hmm.
And the bee was only in it for like 5 seconds.
Yeah, so... That's not so good. We all have our varying reasons for liking Kabuto as much as we do.
Or don't.
As much as we shouldn't.
Well, whatever.
I just like bees.
My God.
It's a wasp.
Yeah, Zabia's a cool design.
The bee is a wasp.
That's my favorite power in Bioshock, because you can shoot bees at people to kill them.
Yeah, that seems like it would work.
Yes.
Yes, you
did. I've owned it for like a year plus, and I haven't touched it yet. Every time I try to take a Fallout disc out of the 360, it just attacks me.
Oh,
damn. Disconnect him from this call right now, please.
Okay, so next week on Superhero Time, we're going to have it's not exactly the season finale, but it was the intended series finale of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Doomsday, parts 1 and 2 for power playback.
Woohoo!
Yeah, that'll be kind of interesting to talk about, maybe.
Well, we hope so, anyway.
Yeah, well, it's got to be better than some of the stuff we watched this month, right?
Yeah.
And it's it's definitely better than Armor Heroes.
Ryu Kendo wasn't that bad.
It was good.
Or Phone Bravers.
When I first watched
Phone Bravers was also good.
Yeah.
And Ryu Kendo had the
rose up the ass
in the bathroom where they blew the roof off.
Which was the whole reason I chose that episode of Ryu Kendo.
And somehow you didn't know about the flower sodomy.
That was just
what?
What?
That was just a happy bonus for it, Max.
The monster egg gets defeated by having a rose shoved in its ass.
Awesome.
Yes, Ryu Kendo seems to be worth watching.
I have nothing to say.
The only regret I have about doing Doomsday next week is that there is not a remastered version of it.
Yes, they didn't quite get that far.
But at some point, we should pick out an episode of Power Rangers Remastered to have for power playback.
Didn't we already cover all of them already when they aired?
As infrequently as they were airing?
Exactly. We should do it again, though, because it deserves to be remembered.
Well, we need to have, a month and a half between parts of the two-parter, parts of a multi-part episode, so...
Why would you wish that on people?
They already watch this show.
Yeah, we'll
listen to it.
We'll do Green with Evil Part 3 on the second week of June, and then do Green with Evil Part 4 the first week of September.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Perfect
not really.
Sense.
We're not really doing that, but...
we are evil enough to do that, though.
Yes. Okay, well, that's probably going to be our show for this week. As it is, it's going to be a long one.
That's what she said.
Your mom said.
So, many thanks to Wingus for joining us this week, and Ken for coming back, even though he knew what to expect.
Yes,
Wingus,
great.
you want to plug your show real quick?
Oh, yeah. It's Wingus to this Funny Pharmacy. It's over at dementiaradio.org Monday nights, 5 to 6 p.m. Central Time.
And that's
funny music.
And that's streamed live. There's no, like, archive of it.
Yeah, no archive. You gotta listen as it happens.
No evidence of it.
Yeah, you're smart with your show. We leave evidence.
Of your prosecution for war crimes for the show.
No. This isn't leaving evidence. It's a warning to future generations. We're doing a public service for society.
Is that what you call it?
That's what I call your mom.
A public service.
Okay, yeah. I thought that counted as a public nuisance.
Your mom is a public utility.
I've been away too long. I've been out of it.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to the show and bearing with us through 5 weeks of Rider movies. Especially
we'll
when...
do it again next year because we hate you.
Yes, except next year it will probably be a month of Deno movies.
Only a month?
We can do it in a month.
Yeah, they'll have made more by next year.
No, if we do that, it would have to be a daily podcast.
Well, okay, let me think about this. There's the movie that takes place within the series. There's Climax Deca. There's Final Countdown. Onigashima Warship. Three Chodeno movies. And now Let's Go Riders.
Do it for 2 months.
Yeah, that's seven movies. No, eight movies, sorry.
And they could
that's
make
okay,
more by next year, too.
That's okay, I can't count how many fingers I'm holding up.
1, 2, and 3.
That's a good sign.
Life goes on, anything goes.
Yeah.
Coming up booze. And again,
well, in Hey Mickey's boy. House, yes.
Not anymore.
Okay, well, be sure to come back next week when we'll be a lot less fun. And probably fewer people, too.
So, project just like every other damn week.
Yes. I would say so. All right. Good night, everybody.
Night.
Night.
Later.
Also, Mickey and Fort Max are too good to say goodbye.
We both said it.
I didn't hear you.
They said it at the same time.
They must have canceled each other. They must have canceled each other out like white noise. That's what it is. The sounds of their voice at the same time neutralize each other and just produce silence. So, Mickey,
that's probably for the best.
Mickey, what you need to do from now on, Mickey, is talk at the same time as Fort Max, so that we can't hear him anymore.
Oh,
you couldn't hear me either, though.
Aren't you willing to make that sacrifice for the rest of us?
I couldn't inflict that on the rest of the world.
Well, so much for that plan.
This has been Superhero Time with your hosts, XV, Hey Mickey, Paladin, and Fort Max. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.
Well, I have to say that show.
If you're laughing or crying,
could be both.
Well, he is on this show.
It could be both. I have to say, though, that show seemed to turn out even better than I expected it to. By which I mean, that show seemed to turn out not horribly.
Yay!
Well, that's because we had two people who weren't us on the show this week.
Yeah, they actually tended to fill in all the silences we usually have.
There weren't as many gaps this time, I noticed.
Yeah, which means it's going to be a much longer show because there's less silence to cut out.
I filled your mom's gaps.
Yes.
For a nickel.
You overpaid.
The Mooger slipped out of your mom's gap.